as you're aware, the theme for this year has been In His Footsteps. The messages that we've been looking at is following in Jesus' footsteps to learn to live and to lead, learn about him, to live the life that he gives to us, and to be able to lead others in that thinking. This month, the subtopic of this working in his footsteps is the shepherd. Jesus being the shepherd in the role. And today we're looking closer at the way maker. Jesus being the shepherd and making a way for each one of us. So what does that mean in our own journey? What does that mean by seeing Jesus as a way maker, a shepherd? And how do we sit behind or sit in that understanding of Jesus being a shepherd and we being sheep? Now, not all of us want to be called sheep, is that right? Maybe let's call us more followers of a leader, of someone taking us on a journey. And there's moments where you yourselves are also shepherds and leading others. What does that mean for you? And how do we see that? So we're going to see that in Scripture today. We're going to see that in some of our readings. I'm also giving a little sub-warning here in the understanding. The verses I'm going to look at, I often use for funerals. Now, I'm not saying those to bring you down. I'm saying preempting you for this place where there's an incredible journey of faith when we look at scriptures that are often associated with funerals, because there's a huge hope in them, and that's what we're looking at today. Ian last week took us on a journey through the mountains. I'm hoping this week we're going to be on a journey where we're actually seeing Jesus as this shepherd leading us and saying, hey, come follow me. It's okay. It's all right. I'm leading you through this. So let's pray into this. Lord Jesus, you are the shepherd. You are the good shepherd. And that good shepherd was willing to lay his life down for his sheep, for his followers. You're calling us in so many different ways to follow you, but also to be a shepherd for those who we are leading along to understand who you are. May we recognize today how you led and how you protected and how you give hope and how you bless us through your leading. May we be prepared to hear what you have for us today. Amen. As a shepherd, we know through the testimony of the lost sheep that the 99 are left behind, and the shepherd finds the one, and not only finds the one, but puts the one on the shoulders. You know, there's a beautiful picture for us that Jesus is willing to move, you know, all the sheep in one place just to find you and me. And not only does he want to find you and me, he doesn't want us to stray anymore. He wants to take us on the shoulder and lead us into that place. For a number of years, Helen and I were managers of a Christian campsite in Sydney. And our role as managers was to look after camps, so many different camps. We did that for 11 years, managing youth camps, school camps, program camps, all different camps to take children on all different adventures in camping ministry. But one of the adventures we'd do for schools was a 5-hour bushwalk. Teachers loved it because it was the very first thing they did. They got off the bus, put their bags in the room. We're going on a 5-hour bushwalk. Do you know why teachers love that? Sharon, why would you love that? No, teachers came as well.
Where's
Peter? He wore them out. Kids are so hyped up for camp, but wearing them out, right? And we take them on a five-hour bushwalk. And I would be leading these bushwalks. And often we'd have 60, 80, 100 children going on this bushwalk, leading them through and taking them eventually to a beautiful waterhole and then walking up through mountains and taking them through. But I would be the one in front and leading the way as really the shepherd for these children, knowing where I was leading them and taking them was really important. If I said to the school teachers, I don't know where we're going today. I have no idea where we're going to end up. I have no idea if we've got food or first aid or even where we're going to end up. Would you like me to take your children? The teachers probably say, well, you can take the children. We're staying behind. I don't know. But there's a huge responsibility with leading groups or being the shepherd. There's a huge responsibility. I take these children and they're all full of energy and say, you can't go in front of me, you've got to stay behind me. Some kids would want to run in front and I deliberately turn a different way and then they have to race back and follow and then keep going. But there was also the accordion effect. Do you know what the accordion effect is? You know, when the accordions go out, these groups get longer and longer, and they have to stop and bring them back in again, right? We have this when we lead the groups in Israel and Jordan and places, and all of a sudden everybody's out of the bus, and they bring them all back in again. It's like an accordion effect. Tina, you know what that's all about. But being in that place of being a shepherd and leading. But one thing that I want you to understand about being the shepherd or the leader or leading a group like this is you have had to do it beforehand. In other words, you knew where you were going. You had to know, as a shepherd would know, if you were leading to a certain place, you knew where you were going and you knew what to expect as you go there. But the shepherds were under huge responsibility. The leaders under responsibility. I was responsible for taking the children where they were going. And guess who cleaned up all the spider webs first? Even if I'm last in a group, I normally get the spider webs across here. All right? That's how it is. But we would take these children and we'd swim at these waterholes and I would have to observe and watch and make sure things were safe and right. There's a big responsibility with being a shepherd. So what we're looking at today is John 13 going through and leading into 14. And it's really important that what I'm doing today is leading you into a conversation that Jesus is having. And this conversation is going between chapters because you know what we do? We often stop from 13 and say, oh, I read chapter 13 and stop and then go, oh, next day I'm going to read 14. And we're not realizing there's a conversation that travels between them. Please, in your Bible reading, can I suggest this? Please try to avoid the chapter headings. You know, the little headings that are, try to avoid them. Try to even avoid some of the chapter numbering and just try to read it as a going through from one to the other because we stop and start often in Bible reading. Because when they were originally written, they were written as just a script running straight through. The chapters and the numbers were never there. But we do that. So what I'm effectively wanting to do today is read that through. Why have I put the reference there? So you can read it later yourself. All right. But this is a conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples. It's a passionate conversation because he as a shepherd is now leading them into this moment where he recognizes that the end is very near for him. So let's see what he is saying here. It says, it begins here, when he was gone. Do you have any idea who, when he? Who's he? Any idea, sir? Judas. What's Judas going to do? Going to betray Jesus. So you can hear him already moving in. Okay, disciples, my friends, Judas has just gone off to do what he's determined to do. And now I want to talk to you personally. So this is Jesus personally talking now to his disciples. Judas has just gone. Jesus says, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. You're going to hear a lot of conversation about Jesus' personal interaction with the Father and him in the Father and the Father in him. This personal time. We talk about Trinity. We talk about this community. Let's look at this community taking place. Young adults, look at this community taking place. That was your question on Tuesday night. Okay, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command, Jesus leaving them with his last words in so many different thoughts. A new command I give you, please, he's pleading, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this love for each other, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What a contrast. Jesus is bringing love into this picture. The Jews were all about law and rules. Jesus is saying, now love each other. It's a whole new command in this thinking. But Simon Peter says to him, Lord, where are you going? This question, where are you going? We don't understand. Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. And Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times. Straight away, Jesus then goes, he's just said to Peter, you're gonna deny me. But then he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. He's talking now to them. Look, this you can see this. We'll go with you, but you don't understand where I'm taking you. So don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Oh, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Jesus is making this promise. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Watch what's going to happen. I'm going to a place that's incredible. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place just for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the place to where I am going. Thomas then turns and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Again, the same question. Where are you going? We don't understand. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This exclusive statement that Jesus is now making. I'm going to a place. I'm going to prepare it for you. But we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Follow me. I'm not only the way, I am the truth. Truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. And he's the life. How to live your life, to find that place where life comes in abundance through him. And this exclusivity of this statement, no one comes to the Father except through me. What a story. Because then he goes on further. He says, if you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. This intimacy that Jesus has. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip says, Lord, show me the Father and that'll be enough for us. What's Jesus' response to that? Well, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Listen to this intimacy that Jesus has between him and the Father, this togetherness. The Father is in me. And the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Again, that personal place. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Then he's almost covering this by, well, at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. This concept that Jesus is bringing, that Jesus is in this place where he and the Father are one together. Even you and I struggle with that. How is Jesus God at the same time? We struggle with that. We see the humanity of Jesus and we see the complexity of God Almighty. And Jesus is saying, we're together. We're one. And so Jesus is saying, even if you don't fully understand the concept, please look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. What was the evidence? Jesus was what? Healing people that were lame. I was going to say blame, right? Lame, blind, deaf, mute, those raising them from the dead. Andrew, I might get the air cons off. I think some of you are starting to sleep a little bit. Come on, wake up. Stay awake. The evidence themselves. What's the most amazing evidence for Jesus, right? Think of all the world religions in all different ways. Can you tell me any of the leaders of world religions that died and came back to life again? Hey? Christianity stands apart completely. The evidence itself. There's such an overwhelming evidence throughout Scripture that Jesus died, or throughout history, through those who are commentators that not even Christian know the story, that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. Overwhelming. Look at the evidence and follow that through. And then to top that off with all the evidence, Jesus turns and says this, actually, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Amen. Yes, please, Helen says. The most amazing things that Jesus did is also saying that we can do some of these things as well by faith in him. The struggle is we're often lonely or feel empty or feel like we've got nothing to offer. Jesus is offering us this personal relationship to follow him. Jesus is offering an understanding that as the shepherd, he has gone to heaven before us to prepare a place for us, to take us on a journey. But he's also saying here on earth, right here and right now, he knows your heart, he knows your struggle, he knows where you're at, and he knows that he can take you on a path. As a shepherd leads to places that are amazing, Jesus wants to take you personally on this journey and lead you to a place that is amazing. Do you believe that, not just with your head, but do you believe that with your heart? because we struggle so much to understand that Jesus actually loves me for who I am. We struggle so much that we believe Jesus has died to take us on a pathway on this amazing journey. We struggle to even believe that he's actually building a room, a house, just for me personally. We might say, oh, Jesus is building a room in this place called heaven for somebody else that's really good for them and they deserve it, but not me. I don't deserve it. Yet Jesus is showing that he led the way and wants to lead us to a beautiful place. In Psalm 23, we read this. David speaks it out. The Lord is my shepherd. Many of you know this very, very well. But sit in it for a moment. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Because the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. You may say, well, I lack lots of things. But a shepherd leads you to places that he will fulfill the deepest need of your heart. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and he refreshes my soul. That personal place where Jesus says, I'm going to lead you and take you to places that's going to be amazing. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So even going through the darkest valley where there could be so much trouble, we know that we can rely on Jesus to be your protector, to be your shield, to be in that place, and to know that they comfort me. To be in that dark place, to know that Jesus has walked this path of life and death before us, has got to comfort us. To know that he died and rose again has to comfort us, because he is leading the way and showed us that death has lost its sting. Amen. Death has lost its sting. He said, don't worry about death. I've conquered it. He died. He rose again. This comforts us. Then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Even in the presence of our enemies, we know that we can sit and be sustained by the Lord Jesus. And not only that, my cup of well-being can overflow in the hardest times. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, he's already speaking this. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I think there's something amazing on the faith journey. We can, in some ways, lose the plot mentally sometimes. Anybody here get what I'm saying? But there's something about a deep faith in Jesus that holds us and sustains us. So I'm going to show you a short video of a lady who's, I think, 88, who really has lost pretty much all her cognitive thinking through dementia. And then the question is posed, even though I think the two people, I'm not sure, it doesn't explain so much, but there's two people in it. I think it's probably her daughter and her son. That's my thinking. She's asked about her daughter and her son, and she doesn't know who they are. Okay, don't give it away. Andrew said, let's just watch it. Okay. Watch this video.
Hey, can you tell me what your address is?
What my address is?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. What color shirt did you have on yesterday?
Nothing.
What did you have for lunch today?
Food. Good food.
All right. So who is Linda? Do you know Linda? What about Paul?
Paul.
All right. Who is Jesus?
Well, Jesus is the one who saved me and lives in my heart and will take me home.
Quite amazing.
Yeah. I love him.
At the end of the day, that sustaining of faith, many of you'll have stories of people that have really struggled, but that grounding of faith that sits so deep in our hearts is the Spirit of God in us who remains strong even to the end. We talk about, Jesus talks about, look at the outworkings or the understanding. This is a testimony of the outworkings of the Spirit of God in someone's life and journey. Jesus was the shepherd. He walked, he carried the cross, he took us in our understanding of a place of death. What it means to give your life for others. But he also showed that he'd conquered that death through coming out of the grave. Amen. To conquer that. That's a reassurance for each one of us. And he says that he's gone to prepare a place for us as a shepherd does. A shepherd will go and scope the area, plan where we're going and set it up and saying it's safe. So in his footsteps, Jesus is saying, come and follow me.
Are we good? Yeah. If we've learned nothing over the last couple of weeks, it's that life is short. And it can be cut short at any moment. And so God wants us to live our life to the fullest and to take the most of every opportunity. We can't be afraid to look up. We can't. And we can't be afraid to hear his voice and respond to his call. Because I don't want to stand before God at the end of my life and believe that I've wasted a moment. Each one of us has a hero inside. And God is calling us to look up, to hear him and to step out. Because we can make a difference to our family, to our neighbor, to someone across the road. We can make a difference to someone we buy a composting toilet from. That's what happened the other day. We bought a composting toilet and she wrote in the message and she said, I've really hurt my back. And I wrote back and texted and I said, oh, I'll be praying for you. And then when we went to pick it up, we just said to her, can we pray for you? And she said, I'm not religious. And I said, it doesn't matter. We are. And she said, what do we do? And we just said, you just stand there and we'll pray for you. And she said, okay. And we just prayed for this woman who's never encountered Jesus before. It doesn't have to be hard. You know, this morning I just woke up and I had no idea what Abby was going to share. I had no idea about the songs. And the very first thought on my mind was, God, don't make us a church to be afraid. Don't make us a church to be afraid to hear your voice. Don't make us afraid to act on the things that you call us to do. Give us courage. Give us boldness. So what if we're wrong? So what if we get it wrong? Does it really matter? Does it really matter if God asks us to do something and we get it wrong? I send text messages and calls and do things all the time. I don't know if it's right, but in faith I do it because I believe it's what God's asking me to do. Church, we could be so much more stronger and make such a greater impact if we were all prepared to look up when God asks us to and to speak up when God calls us to. He's leading the way. All we have to do is follow. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, life is short, and we want to be heroes of the faith. We hear inspiring stories. We watch a video of someone who has dementia and she does not know anything, and yet she knows that you are her savior. The one grounding truth is the one thing that she still grasps hold of and knows well. It's so embedded within her. Lord, let your truth be so ingrained within us that we are bold for you, that we're not afraid to hear your voice, that when you call us to look up, we look up. When you call us to speak out, we speak out. When you call us to do something crazy for you, it doesn't matter what other people think, because we are responding to the voice of our Savior. Jesus, we know people who have lost their way. We all have family or friends or neighbors who don't know you. God, can we pray a crazy prayer this morning and pray that you might speak to us more about how we can share the good news with those around us? God, can we ask to hear your voice unfiltered and have the courage to respond? Because you are our shepherd, you are the way maker, and all you're calling us to do is to listen and respond. Amen.